Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Hello, and thanks for joining me today. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger, and today's a different kind of show. If you're familiar with my show and you're one of my favorite followings that seem to tune in on the regular basis, today you'll know that from the time before, what I always do is I talk about illness and the psychological meanings behind it and topics, but it always has to do with how to solve problems and the illness. But this show's going to be completely different. What I'm going to be doing in this show is that I'm going to be talking about the 10 warning signs of good health. We're always talking about, you know, how we know that we're not in good health and when we don't feel good and so forth. But I thought, you know, we just need a change of pace right now with all of the stuff that's going on, all the energy shifts and all of the changes that are happening. And because this is the year of resolve and we're just supposed to close those doors, clean those closets, get rid of all that emotional stuff, we need to know the warning signs of how we know that we feel good about where we are and that our health is good. So that's going to be the topic of today's show. I'm going to be covering different, the 10, it's kind of like my own top 10 list. I'm going to be covering those particular items, five in the beginning of the segment, and then I'll do the five in the last of the segment. But on top of all of that, I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about your health, you can call me, or, you know, even about the topic, or you want to share something that you know that, how you indicate that you're feeling really good, let's do that as well. But if you do have a question or you just want to chat about the topic, you can call me at 1-877-230-3062. And that number is good in the U.S. and Canada as well as international callers. Of course, international callers, you'll have to dial your calling code. And then again, it's 1-877-230-3062. Well, anyone that has suffered or is suffering from any kind of chronic aches and pains or chronic illnesses, and even a lot of those challenges that life seems to put in front of us on a regular basis, it's really hard for us to have a sense of recognizing, are we gaining on the things? Are we getting better? Are we feeling better? And especially when it seems like we're buried under the minutiae. And again, the chronic pain is something, I have a teleclass that's coming tomorrow night that's going to be on back pain. I'll tell you more about that in the second segment. But on back pain, and one of the things with back pain is that once you get it, then the chances of you continuing to have it on somewhat of a regular basis are going to continue. But anytime you have any chronic pain, what happens is the mind fixates on the problem in the body. That's the way the body-mind connection is designed. When the body hurts, it sends a message to the mind. It says to the mind, I have a problem in this part of the body. I want you to fix it. Well, when the mind can't fix it, it fixates on it. And then what we do is it's kind of a spiraling effect. But there are ways that we can pull ourselves out of it or we can recognize that we are better. And sometimes those things are very subtle and they're really not those 2x4s or that obvious part where we wake up one day and, whoop, everything is just great again. So on this top 10 list, here's some of the things that you can use to know that you are getting better. And whether that, again, body or just attitude, or maybe it's just everything that you're dealing with. Number one on my top 10 list is you have a chronic positive expectation. You have chronic positive expectations. Now, when we're dealing with things, challenges, and so forth, it's really important for us to create that same chronicness that sometimes happens in the body around those positive expectations. And that can start as simple as getting up in the morning and saying to yourself, today is a good day. Today I feel, my body feels good. Today I have energy. Today I am going to accomplish this and set the intentions for the day. And when you set those positive intentions, then it focuses the mind on the intention and then it creates an expectation around it. And then throughout the day, that is an underlying mantra that's kind of going on a replaying over and over again in the human psyche. And as a result, we have that positive aspect, and we get those little expectations fulfilled, and then we start feeling good about things. You know, I heard something the other day, something I read in a book, is that in order to live life, it's really one baby step at a time. These leaps of faith have a lot of value, but if we really want to change our life to the direction that we choose it to be, We've got to have those chronic positive expectations, and we've got to be willing to take those baby steps. So when you set your expectations of the day, what you want is to be realistic. And again, start out. You feel good. And, you know, this fake it till you make it. The mind doesn't know that it's real or it's not. Just you feel good. I feel good. I feel good. And then what you'll do is it will boost your spirits. But even more important than that, it goes in and it tells the brain to release endorphins and neuropeptides that the body actually starts feeling better or feeling good. So number one, you have chronic positive expectations. Number two, you find yourself suffering from random acts of kindness. Oh, I love that one when I started putting this together. And those acts of kindness there don't have to be really blatant again. They can be something that is really very subtle. Things that you just do for someone, you know, it's kind of that philosophy of paying it forward. Instead of, you know, coming in and maybe getting angry with someone because maybe they didn't help you or maybe they didn't do what they were supposed to, maybe what you did is you went out of your way to be able to be, to compliment them or to do something that is kind. But it's something that just happens randomly. It's just something that wells up inside of you. And maybe there's someone that you see that helps remind you that, gosh, you know, you're not as bad off as maybe they are. I always hate to say it that way, but that is part of the process of the healing is we are gifted to be able to see situations where it really makes us come in and appreciate where we are. Now, the person we see, what we don't know is they may be better than they were the day before, or they are better off or better, feeling better than someone else. So again, you know, look for these random acts of kindness, these things that just well up. And one of the important things in this positive expectations is don't have expectations around it. The positive expectation I'm talking about is that you just want to do it. And you don't worry about what the paybacks are. You don't worry about or even think about what the paybacks are or worry about what's going to happen if you do. You just do it. It's something that is very, very important. And again, one of the most fabulous random acts of kindness that we can ever practice on a daily basis is to share our smile with someone else. It's absolutely amazing how the power of the smile can change the entire attitude of someone else or just change their day or change their expectations or just add a piece of happiness to their life. Number three, you experience episodic outbreaks of laughter and joyfulness. Now, this one is one that we have to be a little careful of. I mean, if we're walking down the street and we just for some reason start to laugh and we don't have our iPod buds in our ears or something that is going on, people may look at us strangely. But, you know, that's not such a bad thing. Because people love and they respond to laughter. But so when you have those moments, those episodic outbreaks of laughter, maybe something in your mind that you thought about just makes you want to laugh out loud, then that's something that you can certainly, you know, experience. And that sense of joyfulness, we really came into this human body to be able to live our life joyfully. And joyful has kind of a continuum. It has not very joyful, really joyful, but it's all still joyful. So you can look at that. I had a situation with a webmaster that I work with, just a wonderful gentleman and a sense of humor, and we were talking about the Memorial Day weekend and the fact that, you know, here we were both working. So I emailed him, and I basically said to him, did you get the memo that this is Memorial Day and that we're supposed to be taking this off? And he emailed me back, and he says, you made me laugh out loud. And when I got his email, he made me laugh out loud. Share your laughter with other people. Allow that wonderful sense of humor. And every single one of us has that sense of humor inside. Let it bubble to the surface and to be able to, you know, share that not only in your own laughter, but then also sharing your laughter with someone else. One of the things that is so joyful to watch is to watch a baby when the baby first experiences its own laugh and realizes that it produced it itself. It's like it laughs, and it's like it stops, and it looks around trying to get feedback from everybody that's watching it. And if everybody's watching it is laughing and, you know, very positive and joyful about it, then the baby laughs more. And the more the baby laughs, the more it gets in tune with its laughter and the voice and the sounds associated with it, and then it laughs more and more and more. And I find for myself, and I share this with you is that I can be out somewhere and I can hear a child laugh and it makes me automatically laugh. The laughter that comes from that inner naivety, that innocence, that joyfulness of life itself that children seem to have is something that all of us as adults could certainly tap into, because we all have that inner child, and not the wounded one, but the one that is just, you know, life is great. It's just, it is what it is, and it doesn't get caught up in a lot of the negativity. So again, episodic outbreaks of laughter and joyfulness. Number four, you desire a sense of spiritual involvement. This really occurs at many, many different levels, and for many people, it can be in the form of prayer, and in other people, it can be in the form of affirmations, which is kind of the prayer part of it. We suddenly realize that we're more than meets the eye, meaning that we're more than our physical body, and there's another source within us that we can tap into in order to be able to get that energy that we're looking for, to be able to support those positive expectations and those random acts of kindness and the other things I've talked about. And that spiritual involvement that I'm referring to is when you actually move beyond what is happening in your life and you heighten your awareness to the point where you start to see things differently. And when you see things differently, it changes your perception. And that spiritual involvement that I'm talking about is that you start to realize that you have a power within you called energy, that you're able to move the mind from where it's fixated into a new place, a new frame of reference, to the point where you can see things differently. So in the healing process and good health in general requires that we have some kind of spiritual involvement. And again, if that's from a religious standpoint or non-denominational, it really doesn't make any difference as long as it works for you. Number five, rather than resisting change, you find yourself adapting easy to change and being able to accept it. There's something that I've heard that way back my mom always shared with me when I was growing up, is that it's important for us to be able to look at situations, to get the lessons out of them, but more importantly than that, to use our experiences to initiate change if the experiences aren't what we desire. Very, very wise lady. And one of the things that happens as we get mature, whatever that means, or we grow up, I'm not sure what that means either, is that we find that we become more set in our ways from the standpoint that we aren't as open to changing things. We get into those habits, those comfort zones, those familiar places, and it's easier to stay there than it is sometimes to put out the effort to change those expectations, to be able to change the quality of life, to be able to find the laughter and humor that we have inside. It's much easier that we just stay with what's tried and true. And when we do that, we perpetuate what's tried and true. And over the course of our life, we start to realize, well, that may not be true. And just because we did it 5 years ago or 10 years ago, we're different people. We're always in the process of changing. Every experience that we experience gives us the opportunity to change. Now, we don't have to change with everyone, but at least we ought to know that we have the option within us to take a deep breath, to be in the moment, and to say, in this experience, is there something that needs to change? And when we do that, then we're in control of the change. Part of the resistance of change is other people tell us what we should change. Now, I don't know about your personality, but I can tell you about mine, that when somebody says, oh, you need to change, or they say, I'm only doing this because I think it will be helpful to you, I immediately shut down. And in that particular case, there's no way I'm going to hear what they have to say, and there's no way that I'm going to change or even engage in the process. It's kind of the plight of the yellow personality. If you're not familiar with personality, I encourage you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and there's a little mini personality assessment. It's a great place to start to get your personality color, because what it does is it provides insight very briefly in this particular mini assessment to kind of help you understand who you are. Change means different things to different people. Change to me is freedom, and that's my personality color. Change to a green personality is just the ability to experience something new. change to an orange personality can be a change in security. It's not going to be comfortable. Change to a red personality is why. If it's not broke, don't fix it. But maybe it is broke. We just don't look below it. So, again, rather than resisting change, find a way to be able to adapt to the changes that you want to make in your life and to be able to reframe change, not from a negative to, again, something positive. And even if it's that little tiny baby step, take that baby step toward that change. And each one of those baby steps are all steps of empowerment. They're all steps that lead you to the place where you are in better health, where you have a positive outlook on life, and where you really feel that you can make a difference in your own life instead of other people making a difference in your life. I know as a medical intuitive, when we carry the expectations of other people, we carry them as great burdens, and we carry the weight of the world on our shoulders. As I talk about in my, I'm going to talk about my teleclass, upper back problems, shoulder problems are carrying the weight of the world on your shoulder. What if you have responsibility-itis? And what I mean by that is that it's your responsibility to take care of everything, and as a result, you can't delegate. Well, you carry that responsibility on your back, and you carry it on your lower back. So that's kind of a sneak preview of what's coming up in the teleclass. But more importantly is maybe it's time, with all of the energy of this year, maybe it is time that we literally step back and we reframe in our mind's eye what change means for us. What degree of change are we comfortable with? We are always comfortable with change when we're in control. We will resist change when someone else is. So again, those are the top five that I want to cover in this segment. But what I want to do now is let's go ahead and open up the phone lines and let's start taking some callers, and I'll start answering some questions. Hi, Brian. This is Carol. I hear you're from Reno. How can I help you?
Oh, doing well. Thank you for taking my call, Carol.
Well, you are most welcome.
I actually had a question for my son. He's 12, and he is starting to get warts on his hands and his feet. And my daughter had gone through this, and finally they have gone away. But I'm hoping, and that took 3 years, so I'm hoping maybe to find an answer that would help him resolve this sooner.
Yeah, you know, because especially at that age, we're very self-conscious of our body and, you know, kids looking at us and the different things. So let me offer a couple of different perspectives, which is what I always do. The first perspective of warts is that they're anything that deals with the skin itself is directly tied to the immune system. And then, so anything with the skin is tied to the immune system. So supporting the immune system and keeping it healthy to where we don't build up toxins in the body itself is very helpful. And then if we go from the skin to the immune system, then we have to go to the liver. And the liver aspect is where I really start to find where we get the toxin and the buildup that can cause the formation of warts or skin flaps or a lot of the other skin anomalies that we have. And one of the things in the liver itself, liver is very responsive to diet. Think of it as a waste management plant. It has a whole bunch of roles, but a waste management plant. When our lymph system is not moving as quickly as it needs to, which is part of the immune system, and it becomes sluggish, it looks for ways to be able to take those toxins and get them out of the body and get them to the surface of the skin. And that is literally the reason that we get skin outbreaks if we have bacterial infections, but it's another reason that we have warts if we have this toxin buildup. Edgar Cayce was a firm believer that to deal with skin issues, including warts, is that castor oil packs would be very effective. Because think of it again as things underneath the surface of the skin that is not, it's foreign to the body where there's a buildup and it's pushing it to the surface. And one of the things that castor oil does is that it actually pulls those toxins out through the pore of the skin, and then it starts to absorb that toxin. And I've had people that have had great, relief from warts or these little brown nodules that they get on their skin and things. So that's something that you might look at.
Okay.
From a diet standpoint, you could certainly, to help the liver, the colors of the rainbow diet, as it's called, that the liver and the immune system work really well for. Now, I understand his age, so this may not be as easy as I'm going to make it sound. But the first thing that the liver and the immune system likes is greens. The more chlorophyll in the green, the higher the green color, then the better the liver and the immune system likes it. So if you can look at greens, I don't know if they have green French fries and things that kids eat, but you can look at things that you could put in there. You could also look at maybe doing some wheatgrass or looking at some high-level barley if he doesn't have. Let me go in real chat real quick. So let me tell you what I was checking. I went in to say barley green because it is so high in the chlorophyll and so good for detoxing the body and alkalizing the body. But one of the things I'm picking up is, do you notice that he has a gluten intolerance?
I don't notice it for him, but there's a very good chance of it, as his mother has discovered that she is very intolerant. And as I've cut gluten out of my diet, I've noticed things like swelling in my feet and things in the morning have gone away. So
right.
He has that, which is, of course, as a kid, he loves those carbs.
Oh, I know. And that's, that's the thing where you have kind of a double-edged sword with it from the standpoint of his age, because at that age, we think we can eat anything. But there,
yeah.
When I went in and I looked at the barley green, there were two things I picked up in the gluten part that I stopped myself because I thought, oh, that may not be the right direction for him, is that I find oats and barley are two things that I get a definite yes that he gets a reaction to. And if you think of food allergies as creating an inflammatory response, then what it does is it creates that inflammatory response, again, builds up toxins in the body, gets into the lymph system, can't get to the liver the way it needs to, and it comes out through the skin. So that may be something that you look at. I'm not getting a real clear hit on him as far as having wheat intolerance, but I am picking up the oats and I am picking up the barley for sure.
Okay.
So that's something to look at. And then the next color is red. Red fruits and vegetables, very, very good. They're natural diuretic. They really help the body cleanse the way that they need to. That can be watermelon, it could be beets, it could be strawberries are a little on the acidic side, but if you combine them with something else alkaline, that would really work. So you can look at that. And then the other thing is that from a psychological aspect, warts are an indicator. Look at where they are on his body. They're an indicator that he's holding on to some emotion. And one of the things that I can pick up about him energetically, Brian, is that he has this fear of rejection. Now, I could say all teenagers do. That is true. All teenagers and, young people such as himself wants to be accepted. But he seems that he has a propensity in himself to kind of turn on himself. He has almost this, I call it the unrealistic expectation syndrome. And so anything that he does that is of interest to him, he really works to do it at the very, very best. There's nothing wrong with that. That's a positive aspect of, the development of a child. But it can become very toxic to a child if they get to the point where they're not recognizing that they're trying to excel for their reasons and their versus other people. So that may be something that you can do. My sense is that the majority of warts, and I've been kind of poking at him via you, my sense is the majority of the warts that he has is going to be very similar to your daughter, where they're going to start to subside, and there will be less predisposition for them. There are two areas that I pick up energetically that may take longer. One is the hands and the lower arms. And then the other is down around his feet or ankle. I'm picking up that there's different things there. And, again, what I'm picking up is that, again, the expectations of himself, the hands, being able to be very physical, to be involved, and then that rejection part, that kind of unspoken fear of moving forward. But would rather do nothing than to do something and not do it well. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does for him, and I had that when I was about his age, and I also had many warts at that age as well, and that was it. If I knew I couldn't do it well right away, I would choose not to do it. Even if it looked like it might be fun.
Well, and again, it's just that it's that rejection issue that we, you know, kind of develop. And it isn't that as parents you've done anything wrong, and it isn't that you've necessarily, you know, kind of created this issue for him. This is just part of his work. You came in and you've done so much work and healed so much part of your family ancestry around your father, and your son's doing it with you. And it's part of that lineage that we pass. One generation comes in and our descendants come in and look at us and say, you know what, that works and that doesn't. It's part of that individuality and so forth with it. But my sense is that the other warts will, again, start to subside just with the age process. And then these other two areas are something. And part of the reason for that, feet and hands are directly tied to the liver and the quality and the well-being of the liver itself.
Okay. So liver support. I mean, a lot of it is energetic, but it is going to help a lot.
Yep. And, you know, again, kind of I always go the two different perspectives. And you feel to me as I poke you energetically is that you seem to have the ability to weave that practical, kind of that scientific approach where you research with that esoteric approach where you look below the surface and then you look for ways to be able to integrate the two. And I think that, you know, this is part of a gift for you as well to maybe, excuse me, I have to say this, but for you to walk into this kind of weaver that you have and who you are, that you can, you know, kind of embrace your intuitive aspect, your vibrational aspect as well. This is where you separated from your dad, hon. This is where you kind of went that, you know, tried and true to, well, I think I'll walk a little on the fringes. And then it's like, well, I'll walk a little more on the fringes. It's like, oh, too much off the fringes. Let's go back to the other thing. And that's the process. And that's who your son is as well. And he is part of this lineage process.
Oh, great. Well, the gift from my father was his leaving it when I was 8. So I'm hoping not to have that extreme gift for
Oh, no. You know, I don't know whether this is going to be a good news or bad news. You've got too much still on your to-do list for that to be a situation. So if that's any consolation, I don't know whether that was good news, but you're going to be around for a while.
I sort of had a feeling on that. Well, super. Then I will work on finding some fun ways to incorporate some things into his diet, and then...
And then look at the castor oil packs and see how that can work as well.
Now, would that be on his directly on the areas where
yes.
he has warts? So, like,
yes.
Wrap his hands with the muslin with the castor oil in it?
Absolutely.
Is it best to do that as, like, a go-to-sleep-with-this-on thing?
Well, you'll have to test him to be sure that his skin has, that he doesn't have any skin sensitivities to it. But it could be something that you could start out with just leaving it on for 15 or 20 minutes.
Okay, and then as far as, because it is drawing out specific toxins, is there a time when you discard the muslin?
Yes, what I always do is I always tell people is don't reuse it. Just use it once and then toss it. So don't, you know, it doesn't have to be big long strips where you're buying bolts of fabric. But every time you do it, you're going to be pulling toxin out and you'll want to discard that.
Oh, so just one shot. So even like when I do stuff for the liver... while I'm doing liver cleanses, and same thing.
Absolutely.
Okay, great. That makes a lot of sense.
Absolutely. Well, thanks very much for calling me. You have a wonderful day.
Thank you, Carol. I enjoy your show very much.
Oh, my. Well, thank you for your kind words. All right.
Welcome.
Well,
bye-bye.
Please stay tuned. I'm going to be right back after this break, and I'm going to share the last of the 5 of the top 10 list of the warning signs so you know you're in good health.
like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now, toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
ContactTalkRadio.com.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you, so next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Peggy Noonan said, humor is the shock absorber of life. It helps take the blows. Well, again, thank you for joining me. If you are just joining me, the show today is a little bit different than what I normally do from the standpoint that I'm always talking about solving problems and how to deal with illness. But this show is different. This show is all about what are the 10 warning signs to let you know that you are in good health. So very fun topic for me to do. To research and put the show together, and I hope that you're enjoying it. And what I'm going to be doing in this particular segment is I'm going to be covering the last five of the top 10, and then I'll be going back and talking about a lot of the other, kind of recapping all of it. Also, I'm going to be taking your calls, so if you have a question for me, you can call me at 1-877-230-3062. I mentioned in the first segment that I have a free teleclass that's coming up. It's my June free Your Health teleclass, as I call them. It's going to be taking place tomorrow evening, Thursday, June 24th, at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. That'd be 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. And the topic for this month is back pain. Every single month, based on what my listeners and then the people who send suggestions. In fact, if you have a suggestion for a show or you have a suggestion for a teleclass, you can go to my website, www.reitberger.com, and then go to the contact page. And or actually, there's an icon on my homepage. Just click on that and then submit your topic. So back pain was one of the topics that I seem to find a resounding please do. And so my June teleclass is going to be on back pain. The teleclass itself is 60 minutes in length, and then during that time I share all kinds of information on the different causes of back pain, kind of a clinical perspective of back pain itself. There's so many different causes that can trigger back pain. I'm going to be looking at all of those. But one of the things I do as a medical intuitive is I take it beyond the obvious of the physical body, peel those layers back, and start to look at the hidden psychological meanings behind back pain. And again, I'm going to be breaking that down. What are the psychological meanings behind herniated disc or sciatica? Or maybe it would be spinal stenosis or plantar fasciitis, a major contributor to back problem. So I'll actually go in, hidden meanings behind back pain in general, but then I'm going to break it down in the hidden meanings behind some of the most common back pain issues that we have. And then I also share, since I can see the human aura, I also share what does back pain look like in the aura, and then also how does it map in the chakra system. What role does your personality play in the dynamics of contributing to that weak back that we sometimes get? And again, like I said, green personalities, I shared a little bit, green personalities carry the weight of the world on their shoulders. It's not uncommon with that type of perception for greens to have upper shoulder pain. Reds have fear of survival. It's all about being able to provide. they have lower back pain. Yellows have back pain in the mid-back and that thoracic spine because maybe they don't feel supported or they have that what I call responsibility-itis. So, again, I look at it from all different perspectives, and then I also share conventional treatments. I think it's important for people to know what those treatment options are. But I hope that the real value of the aspect of looking at treatment options is I could do a lot of research and provide a lot of insight as far as alternative remedies and therapies that can work specifically for dealing with back pain. So again, I hope that you're going to join me. It is a free teleclass. To register, you just go to my website, www.ritberger.com. And then also, if you tell a loved one that someone that has back pain, I'm getting all kinds of emails from people saying, my friend told me about this, and I've had back pain for 10 years. I'm hoping to learn something new. Well, I hope they do also. And then following the teleclass, I always spend 20 to 30 minutes of extra time where it's not being recorded, and I just answer as many questions as I can, kind of like I'm doing on my radio show today. So again, I hope that you'll join me. That's tomorrow evening, June 24th, 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. You can register. Then you will be given all the information, call-in numbers, and then your access code. Also, to let you know that my May teleclass was all on headaches, and I looked at a variety of the different headaches and everything. That teleclass is now available for purchase, both in an audio format for download and then also a printable PDF. And I have a lot of people that actually collect these PDFs and keep them for reference sources because I do go into so much detail. So, again, if you're interested in purchasing the headaches PDF or the audio, that, too, is available on my website, www.ritberger.com. Okay, so now onward to my list of top 10 warning signs of good health. So starting with number 6, you find yourself recovering more quickly when you become stressed. Whether you're just letting go or you're figuring out that it's someone else's stress and problem, your ability to manage stress increases and it gets much better. One of the things that I also learned, and I guess I'm sharing a lot about my mom today on the show and the wisdom that my mom said, is she told me very young, she says, Carol, choose your battles. And I thought, wow, what does that mean, Mom? But the older I get, the more I realize, and especially with my background with personality, is I realize that people don't see things the same way. And as a result, they're going to respond and react differently. They're going to have different solutions or different ways that they're going to interact with the situation. So what I found is that in that stress situation, stress is an indicator there's a power struggle. Either I'm trying to push my perception of what they should do on them, or they are trying to push theirs on me. Stress is an indicator that I'm being asked to do something, you're being asked to do something that you basically either don't want to do, you don't have enough information, or it's beyond your scope of skills. So when we start to change the perception of stress and we see it as more of a barometer of helping indicate where we are, if we're doing something that we really want to do or we really love doing, we never procrastinate and we don't get stressed. If we are doing things that we don't want to do, we naturally procrastinate and we get stressed. Now, when I said we don't get stressed doing something we love that we're doing, we always, when we're doing that, we're always going to, by human nature, push it out a little bit further, a little bit further. And there may be an element of stress. But is it stress or is it excitement? So deep breath, and then what you can do is you can go in and go, oh, gosh, you know, the stress that I'm feeling is really more excitement. Shift the perception. Number 7, there's an increase in physical activity. When it's difficult for you to do anything and it's difficult for you to push yourself to do anything, as it is in the case of many chronic illnesses, one of the indicators that you're getting better is that you have a desire to be able to become physical again. Now, that may start true in your mind's eye that you thought, well, okay, my feet have been hurting me, but now today I think I want to walk. Now, what you do is you think you want to walk, shift to perception. Now, what you do is you take the baby steps, do a little bit of walk. It doesn't mean going out and walking a 26-mile marathon, but again, little tiny baby steps. But you will notice that you're get ready to engage in life again and that you want to increase the physical activity. Number 8, you find yourself sharing your feelings. Oh, take a deep breath on this one, all of my listeners, because this is one of the things that we literally are conditioned to not do, and especially in the United States, and the way that we look at emotions, and, you know, that old mantra, you know, leave them on your doorstep when you go out in the morning and then deal with them when you're at home. When we start feeling good, then we're able to really share our feelings, and we're able to be able to say from our heart that this is not acceptable or this hurt my feelings, and to be able to share how we feel about things and not shut down. If we start to share and somebody looks at us as though, well, here we go again, it's still saying, okay, this is important to me. I need to share my feelings. And you can say that to the person. You know, this is important for me to be able to say, and I would like it if you, and I appreciate it, whatever your terms are, again, personality, if you would listen to what I have to say. Even if they don't, say it anyway, because if we keep that inside, that builds up a lot of pent-up energy, emotions such as anger and frustration and resentment, all of which are really very toxic to the physical body. So you'll find yourself sharing feelings and, you know, talking very openly about them to people that you feel safe. Number 9, you experience uncontrollable feelings of gratitude. Oh, boy, this one is something that is such a shift of perception. When you start to look at the things that are very subtle and you start to really appreciate them and you have this overwhelming, bubbling up gratitude about the blue sky, the flowers, your animals, you stop fixating on the problems and you start recognizing and seeing the subtle joys, the subtle gifts in life and so forth, then that gratitude bubbles up. Now, gratitude then takes us back to those positive expectations. When we have a lot of gratitude, we have positive expectations. And one of the things that you're beginning to probably get a sense of is each one of these top 10 actually feed and build off of the other. Number 10, you have a persistent sense of humor. And this is something that I know I was doing a class the other day on, you know, how to be able to heal the body, and laughter is one of the best medicines there are. But that sense of humor, all of us has a sense of humor inside, and it's something that really we negate as we get older, is that it's either inappropriate or not the right time, but we all have that sense of humor. And the best sense of humor that we can develop is instead of getting angry with ourselves when we do something that is very, very human, is we just see it as being very human, and we laugh about it or we may joke about it, but we don't do it in a way where it berates ourselves or it's condescending or it is suppressive to ourselves. We just literally have a good old-fashioned belly laugh. So again, that persistent sense of humor, you know, these memos that we may send and so forth, all of these things are indicators that our health is in the right place, that it is, we are feeling better. So let me go quickly over the list just in case you are joining me for the first time. Number 1, you have chronic positive expectations. Number 2, you find yourself suffering from random acts of kindness. Number 3, you experience episodic outbreaks of laughter and joyfulness. Number 4, you desire a sense of spiritual involvement. Number 5, rather than resisting change, you find ways to adapt so you can change easily under your terms and conditions and not others. Number 6, you find yourself recovering more quickly when you become stressed. Number 7, there's an increase in physical activity. Number 8, you find yourself sharing your feelings. Number 9, you experience uncontrollable feelings of gratitude. And number 10, you have a persistent sense of humor. So I hope that you've enjoyed all of those different things. And if for any reason that, you know, because I have to go through them rather quickly, if you want to re-listen to the show or you want to go back and you're taking notes and wanting to remember what these 10 warning signs are, you can always go back on Friday. It'll be actually posted to my website, again, www.ritberger.com. You can listen to any of my archive shows 24/7, 365. You can download it to your iPod. You can carry me with you on your walks wherever you'd like. But please, you can just go to my website, and then you'll go to radio, pull down the archives, and then you'll be able to listen to the show again. So I hope that you've enjoyed it. Let me go ahead and jump in, and I would like to take Monet from L.A. from hi, sweet. How are you?
Hi, great. Thank you for speaking.
Well, you are most welcome. How can I help you?
Yes, Carol. I'm experiencing chronic nausea and low energy, and I'm just concerned that I'm absorbing the food or my supplements. And I'm also curious about the energetics behind this chronic issue.
Okie dokie. So let me go in. In your abdomen area, more in the upper abdomen, I'm picking up energy buildup than I am in the lower. So what it is the things that you're ingesting when it first enters into that digestive tract, that upper tract, is when I get the first indicator of some of the abdominal discomfort. So there's a couple of things that I pick up, is that you feel very acidic to me. And so what you might want to do is reevaluate your diet and do some research around alkaline-based foods. If you're going to eat acidic foods, those could be acidic vegetables or acidic fruit. There are some that are out there. Cranberry happens to be acidic. Then what you'll want to do is you'll want to food combine differently to get to a place where you don't have the acidity build up in your body. The other thing is, sweetie, where your stomach is, it feels like it would be really worthwhile if you're going to eat raw foods, minimize what they are, and if they have any kind of substance to them, then what you'll want to do is you'll want to steam them and break them down a little bit so you can macerate them the way you need, and they really become broken down before they even get in your stomach.
Okay.
The other thing I'm picking up is you feel to me like you have a predisposition of H. pylori. I can pick up the residual of it. You probably had, your stomach may have been a little more sensitive the last 2 weeks. It feels like it's getting better now, but it feels like the H. pylori can builds up. So there's some things that you can do, that you can actually go through a treatment with a doctor that's pretty aggressive, or you could find yourself a holistic practitioner that could deal with the bacteria in the stomach. I know a lot of people, doctors that I actually work with, medical doctors, will say that you could go on antibiotics. A lot of people don't want to do that, or that you could look at doing something like Tums, something that isn't like a Prilosec because that's very acidic, that could help with the H. pylori. But you feel like you're getting better there.
Okay.
A lot of the feels like almost a spasming or cramping, a tightness, that's probably the best way to say it, has to do with the foods not being broken down enough once it leaves your stomach. And so that's why I keep getting the alkaline. It's almost like I would want you to do a little sodium bicarbonate or something, just a little bit, just enough to alkalize your stomach and your upper digestive tract.
Okay.
Then I'm going to take a different route. The other route I'm going to take, Monet, is that, and I say this with love, but I have to say it, your head isn't on straight, sweetie, so excuse me for saying it that way. But what
yeah.
I mean is I'm not talking psychologically. I'm talking literally in the way that your brain seats in the skull, your cervical spine, and I can go down just below your shoulders. All of those vertebrae in that area feels like they've got a twist or a torque in them that throws that atlas off. And what it does is it throws the way the face moves, the muscles feel like they pull, the chewing isn't maybe as effective as it needs to. And so you might want to look at cranial sacral or acupuncture, something like that. I have to ask a question. When you were a baby, do you remember, well, you might not, but did anybody ever talk to you about falling on your head, honey?
No. I'll definitely ask, but no.
Okay.
But it's entirely possible.
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I pick up is it isn't like somebody dropped you, but it feels like you fell a couple times. And what it does is it's just that atlas, that cervical vertebrae 1, has a memory in it, and it has the muscles want to hold it in a certain place. And so that's why I thought the cranial sacral or the acupuncture may be able to help you with the chi and the energy. And then when the head isn't on straight, then it puts pressure on the cranial nerves. Cranial nerve number 10, the vagus nerve, literally comes down the spine, honey, and it leaves the spine in the thoracic vertebrae right above our shoulder blades, the base of our shoulder blades, and that's tied directly to digestion and then also activity, heart, breathing, that particular aspect. So you might want to look at someone who's a cranial sacral practitioner.
Okay, I will.
The good news is, when I touch you, sweetie, this isn't This isn't something that is life-threatening in any way or life-altering. You don't feel to me like you have irritable bowel syndrome. You haven't developed the aspects that could potentially be developed. So as you're continuing to work on this and trying the different things, this can help you feel like you're gaining control of it. And again, it's very controllable, it feels like to me.
Okay.
The other thing is, are you looking at making a change in your life, honey?
Yes.
Okay. So I say this again with love. My God, I'm just doing this over and over again. You know, when people say that to me, it's like, yeah, I don't know if I want to listen to you, Carol. Trust yourself, sweetie.
Okay.
Most important, I've got an energy buildup, third chakra, personal power, self-confidence, lack of trust.
Yeah.
So when I touch you in that, in the aspect, in not trusting yourself, I'm going to say it very clearly. You don't have a real clear picture yet of what you want this change to look like.
Right.
Why don't you just sit tight for a minute? Take a deep breath, a minute being a minute or a day or a week or whatever. Take a deep breath and do something that I call think it done. What will it look like when it's done? Let yourself have the freedom to run that out till it reaches a place where you can see yourself there and every aspect of it has this sense of control around it, this confidence around it, this empowerment. You're better off to not move than to move without getting that sense of done.
Mm-hmm.
That should take some pressure off of you.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. Really my pleasure. Well, I want to thank all of you. I only got to the two callers. Hope you'll join me next week. In fact, I'm going to do conversations with Carol with lots of calls. So, Joellen from Chicago, call me next week, sweetie. We'll see that your name gets in there. And also Sharon from Ohio with the chronic fatigue. All I can say is, Sharon, when you go in really quickly, the chronic fatigue, honey, is the immune system. Joellen, the knee is tied to the right ankle that's tied to the sacroiliac joint that's tied to lumbar vertebrae 1 and 2. So that gives you a sneak preview. But I hope the two of you will call me back next week. I hope all of you have enjoyed the show. It's always fun to share the information, and I love sharing my medical intuitive skills with you. Again, you can go to my archives, www.ritberger.com. Join me next week. Have a wonderful week, and I'll see you on the radio on contacttalkradio.com.
You've been listening to The Carol Reiberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on contacttalkradio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.reiberger.com. That's www.ritberger.com. See you soon.